The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.
Welcome to the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour with your hosts, Mr. Al Foreman and licensed nutrition counselor, Janet Cimarelli. The Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour brings to you the very latest nutrition information, and the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Centers bring you EDLP. More about EDLP during the show. Here are your hosts, Al Foreman and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome once again to the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour. I'm Janet Cimarelli, and I have a very nice group surrounding me by phone. Good morning, Al Foreman.
Good morning, Janet. How nice to hear your voice on this bright, sunny, windy morning here in South Florida.
A windy morning, yes, a breezy, I love it. And also on the line with us, Al, Dr. Herb Slavin. Good morning, Dr. Slavin.
Good morning.
Dr. Slavin. Nice to hear your voice again.
And so we have a very full agenda to be speaking about this morning on the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour. Very important news and information with regard to young women who are pregnant, young women who may be considering pregnancy. So lots of information. But before we get to that discussion, Al, give us a little bit of an update. What's going on at the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center?
Well, our staff here is working very hard getting the store ready for our opening, which will be announced on Monday as to the exact date that we'll be open. And we're going to offer you the finest retail products sold anywhere in the country from leading manufacturers in the vitamin supplement, personal care, pet care, household products, and organic groceries. And you'll be amazed at some of the varieties of products that we do have, and, of course, the extremely EDLP, which are the everyday low prices across the board on many lines. And in the next couple of weeks, we'll be posting on the website pictures you can see as to how the store is coming along, what you can expect to have here. And then sometime toward the middle or around the 20th of November, we're going to put on our website a listing of the everyday low prices of different companies that you'll be able to enjoy buying here at the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center in Margate. So we're going to keep you up to date on everything. I appreciate Janet spending her time giving you some outstanding, useful information. And I welcome, of course, Dr. Herb Slavin, who I know is going to share some of his great knowledge with the listeners today. So I thank you very kindly, and I'll be saying goodbye, Janet.
Well, thank you so much for checking in, and I'm sure the listeners are really grateful for the update about what's going on at the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center, and I'll be seeing you soon, Al. Have a great morning.
Thank you, too. Bye-bye.
Okay, so the topic for this morning, I came across just happened to be an article on the Internet, and So I did some considering about what we are, how our opinions are formed, depending on what we're reading. So, over the past, it's more than 6 months that we have been given so much information with regard to the Zika virus. And there's a website, Natural News, and they were saying, you know, we have been frightened. We have been kind of misled, certainly misled, and spending so much money with regard to overcoming the potential for being infected with the Zika virus. 1.8 billion dollars focused on vaccine research to overcome the Zika virus. That's pretty amazing. That's a lot of money. And so I just want to give you a little bit of information. In Venezuela, 60,000 Zika virus patients, zero birth defects. In Honduras, 30,000, one birth defect. Puerto Rico, 30 infections and 30,000 infections and two birth defects. In Mexico, four infections, zero birth defects. Guadalupe, 30,000 exposures, zero birth defects, no brain deformities. And so here we have the information that the numbers do not support the extrapolation that for sure you have a Zika infection and you're pregnant, you're going to be dealing with a baby born with certain types of brain deformities and insufficiencies. So there's no information being given to pregnant women from their obstetricians, gynecologists about cytomegalovirus. Dr. Slavin, how frequently might you be testing your patients for cytomegalovirus?
Well, let me just back up a little bit as to why I started testing people for this, because if you can recall, several months ago, we spoke about this 14-year-old girl, perfectly healthy, and she was given the Gardasil vaccine, the vaccine to prevent cervical cancer caused by the human papillomavirus. And after she got the vaccine, she became very sick. And then everybody's looking for a reason, you know, did the vaccine cause it, or ingredients in the vaccine? And the conclusion they came to was she had been harboring a lot of viruses and other pathogens in her body, and the vaccine had stressed her immune system to the point where it could no longer control all these viruses, and they became active. Now, we're familiar with this occurrence in the context of shingles, where you have a latent virus in your body, and when your immune system gets weak, it becomes active, and you get that shingles rash. But nobody ever suggests that other viruses in our body can become active and make us sick. Well, that's what they found in this girl. She was harboring even some tick-borne illness. Everything was kept under control until she got the vaccine, which stressed the immune system to the point it couldn't control things anymore. And all these viruses became active, and she had all these different side effects, from paralysis to weakness, fatigue. And it just doesn't go away right away. So based on that, I said, you know, we want to find out just how prevalent this is. And what we're finding is that if you test people for the common viruses and bacteria that we're exposed to, I'll give you an example. You mentioned cytomegalovirus. There's also Epstein-Barr virus, chlamydia pneumonia, mycoplasma pneumonia. You have the herpes simplex virus 1 and 2, adenovirus, Coxsackie virus. And I would say there isn't one person that doesn't come back with antibodies to one or more of those viruses. Now, the interesting thing, Janet, is very little is known about how the body really handles these viruses, and I'll tell you what I mean. The question is, okay, what we're checking for is antibodies. Well, that means sometime in the past you've been exposed to these bacteria and viruses and you have antibodies. Now, we know that antibodies do not equal immunity. You know, antibodies mean you've been exposed. It's part of the immune response, but not the whole response. So the questions that are unanswered is, how long do these antibodies remain active in your body? In other words, is the virus out of your body, but you still have antibodies, or is the virus still in your body, and that's why you continue to make antibodies? And I think the jury is still out exactly how this works. They say some childhood illnesses give you lifelong immunity, but when you give a vaccine, they say, oh, you need to get booster shots because the vaccine doesn't give you lifelong immunity. I think there's a lot of unanswered questions here. So with cytomegalovirus, very common virus. It's actually in the herpes family. And I would say probably at least 80% of the people are showing that they've been exposed to it.
So here's such incredibly important information for women who may be pregnant now or considering pregnancy. They're not getting any information with regard to the cytomegaloviral infection. And there's no publicity about this. And one of the reasons that might be there's no publicity about it is there's no pharmaceutical. There's no vaccine that has been shown to be dramatically efficient at minimizing the presence and the activity of that cytomegalovirus. Okay, so for women who are considering pregnancy, I can't say more strongly than this. Be tested for cytomegalovirus. Speak to your obstetrician. And he might say to you, well, what do you want to be tested for that? And you say, I want to be as informed as possible that my body is very capable of supporting my immune system so that I don't create an issue, a congenital issue in the baby I'm pregnant with now, or should I become pregnant in the future? So what happens if you happen to have cytomegalovirus and certainly those antibodies circulating in your body? There are no symptoms, or if there are symptoms, they are so minimal. It's like having the flu. So the risks associated with passing on cytomegalovirus during the course of your pregnancy or even after having given birth, because the cytomegalovirus can be transferred from mother to child through saliva, through urine, through through breast milk. So sometimes during pregnancy, if the cytomegalovirus is able to, let's say, bloom and overcome the antibodies, you have a greater risk of delivering a premature baby. The baby might be small size for gestational age. Maybe there's jaundice. How common is that for babies to be treated with regard to jaundice after birth? Possibly more serious issues, hepatitis and enlarged liver, and certainly microcephaly. There are more issues that of a more serious lifelong nature, and over the course of the show, that's what we'll be talking about. But right now, we're going to take a break on the Save a Lot Nutrition Hour. I'm Janet Cimarelli. I'm speaking this morning with Dr. Herb Slavin. We'll be right back. Are you taking the recommended supplements meant to address specific health issues? If you've not been able to reach your health goals, maybe the supplements don't have the biological activity necessary. Discuss with me, Janet Cimarelli, the specific nutrients for your health issues. Quality supplements and focused nutrient dosages make a world of difference. To achieve your health goals, come to Save a Lot Nutrition Center. Our excellent staff has combined experience well over 100 years. You get the very best supplements at the very best prices. Save a Lot Nutrition Center, 3105 North State Road 7, 1/2 mile south of Sample Road in the Penn Dutch Shopping Center, 754-307-1655, 754-307-1655.
Want to keep up to date on progress at Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center in Margate? You can visit save-a-lotnutritioncenters.com. Want to find out even more? Go to info@save-a-lotnutritioncenters.com. Tune in every day for the latest updates on special events coming up at Save-A-Lot Nutrition Centers and learn more about the low, low pricing coming soon to the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center in Margate.
Welcome back to the Save a Lot Nutrition Hour. I'm Janet Cimarelli. I'm here with Dr. Herb Slavin. Dr. Slavin, you mentioned a number of different blood tests that you've been doing with your patients. And so here's my question. Is it sufficient to simply test the presence of cytomegalovirus antibodies, or should you be testing Epstein-Barr virus antibodies, HPV, Coxsackie? Do you need that entire profile of those infectious viruses? And how do you interpret the numbers? If the antibody presence is very, very high, what does that mean as a physician working with a patient?
Well, you have to put things into context with the patient. Having antibodies, and in most cases, patients have antibodies and they feel perfectly fine. And that's, you know, and that's what happens. So you're exposed to these things and, you know, the body's immune system keeps it under control and you don't get sick from these infections. I'm sure you've probably spoken to people that say, you know, they never had chicken pox. They probably were exposed to it, but they never came down with the actual infection. I mean, my father said, you know, he slept in the same bed growing up as his brother. His brother got polio, but my father didn't. So, you know, everybody's immune system handles things differently. So the point is, if people have a health challenge they're dealing with, then you have to consider the possible role that these infections that people harbor in their bodies might be playing with that infection. And that is really never being considered. But these infections can make people feel tired, and that's a common complaint. But more importantly, they've been associated, different viruses with different problems, been associated with, say, high blood pressure, obesity, heart disease, cancer. But that connection is really never emphasized. You think about it. We've all know people that had cancer, been treated for cancer. Did you ever ask the doctor, what caused my cancer? And they would always shrug their shoulder. Well, we don't know what causes your cancer, but we know how to treat it. And I always find that hard to understand. You don't know what causes the problem, but you know how to treat it. Because the way I think of things, you have to remove the underlying cause to effectively treat the problem. And here they don't know the cause, so they don't even address it. They just, basically what they're saying is they treat the symptom. They want to make you feel you're getting better, but in reality the cause remains. And that's why there's such a poor success rate in treating cancer. And, you know, the same thing is true with heart disease. Although with heart disease, the viruses may play a role, but we know that diet plays a major role as well. And never, you know, but the impact of these pathogens, these bacteria and viruses in our body are really never considered when we're dealing with patients with those problems. And I think that's the point. If someone has high blood pressure, they don't consider the role of an infection in your body causing it. They say, take this pill to lower the number. Now, I think I showed you, Janet, the test results that we did on a patient with high blood pressure that we had difficulty controlling from the standpoint, and probably a lot of listeners who have high blood pressure may be experiencing the same thing, that some days it's controlled and some days it's out of control, even though they're, you know, they're taking the medication the way it is supposed to. And really couldn't get it under good control. And when we checked his autonomic nervous system, which is probably the most sensitive indicator for just how your body is functioning, because when you look at the autonomic nervous system, you're looking at the way the body controls your heart rate, your blood pressure, your breathing, your digestion, and when these go off, you know there's a problem. Now, mainstream medicine doesn't look at this because, again, they don't have a drug for it. But when I treated that patient, like the treatment of last resort, when nothing else works, with an ultraviolet blood treatment, which is going to address these infections in his body, he had a major improvement in his autonomic nervous system function, a remarkable improvement. And not only that, the patient felt so much better, and his blood pressure came under much better control. So I think it's important to consider these infections that nobody ever thinks about. Now, to put things into context, and we mentioned this once before on the radio, I said anybody considering a vaccination, now we know the flu shot is one, but it could be others, you know, they may tax your immune system to the point that all the other infections that it's controlling in your body and keeping them asymptomatic may allow it to show itself and give you symptoms. So I'm sure people complain of getting sick after a vaccine. It may not be the vaccine directly making you sick. It may be all those viruses that become active after weakening or challenging your immune system a little bit from the vaccine.
So it's critically important for people to understand how many different expressions of immune dysfunction there may be based on these subclinical viral infections, the subclinical bacterial infections. Yes, your body is keeping them under control. However, there's just one more insult to how your body is meant to function, and the house of cards comes tumbling down. As I said just before the break, I was talking about the situations that may arise with babies being born with cytomegalovirus. One baby in 150. Now, that's pretty significant for something that is not discussed, something that is not part of the consultation between the obstetrician and patient. One baby in 150 born with cytomegalovirus. They can, if they are not born, if the baby is not born with cytomegalovirus, but the mother is a carrier, she is infected with cytomegalovirus, then the infection may be passed on to the baby through breastfeeding. So here's the profile. The first cytomegaloviral infection tends to be very mild, so you wouldn't necessarily recognize it as anything of great significance. Very mild flu-like symptoms, fatigue, maybe a little bit of a fever, maybe a little bit of muscle aches, and then it goes away. You don't necessarily do anything about it, and it goes away. And you think, okay, well, I beat that one. But the truth of the matter is that first infection and then possibly a pregnancy, there's very low risk of communicating that viral infection to the baby. However, if you are dealing with reinfection, and that's what this discussion is, the multiple viral issues, maybe extreme stress, maybe poor diet, maybe not enough rest, that second infection, you have a higher risk of passing the cytomegalovirus on if you are pregnant. So the symptoms are similar to mononucleosis, fever, sometimes ulcers, sometimes diarrhea, fatigue, the muscle aches. But the more serious symptoms could be things like a diagnosis of pneumonia or really intense digestive problems that ultimately can be diagnosed as ulcers, encephalitis, hepatitis. So depending on how your immune system is responding, this can be an extremely important area to discuss with your physician. So, as Dr. Slavin said, the cytomegalovirus is related to the herpes virus, and it's communicated, can be passed around, as I said, through saliva. So kissing, snuggling that baby, little bits of saliva may be passed around. Urine, you're changing diapers. That can certainly be a source of the infection. And then you think about the little kids in daycare, toddlers sharing toys, putting those toys in their mouths, and somebody else, then they're sharing it with their friend, or their friend kind of taking possession. All of those are sources of transmission. And today, obstetricians are talking about women possibly becoming pregnant, or those in early pregnancy, don't change a kitty litter box, no alcohol. Those are very important discussions to have with the obstetrician, but there's no discussion about cytomegalovirus. Dr. Slavin, is there a connection with the viral count and the presence of multiple viruses with high viral antibody titers in the blood test? How important is that to be discussed with a prospective mom?
Well, you know, I'm not sure you can get a viral count. You can get, you know, a viral count you can get with hepatitis. I'm not sure you can get it, because when you order a test for cytomegalovirus or even Epstein-Barr virus, you just get an antibody report. Now, here's something that people should be aware of. And this is, you know, published by the National Institute of Health. So this is mainstream information. And we mentioned that both the cytomegalovirus and the Epstein-Barr virus are part of the herpes virus family. And both those viruses have been implicated as a cause of breast cancer. So, I mean, the potential risks of these infections are go far beyond what we're normally told. For example, you might have a fever, like a viral infection, swollen lymph nodes, and it goes away in a week or two. But they've been associated with more serious conditions. And it's not enough to, not look into them a little bit more and take steps or to help your body's immune system to become as vigilant as possible, as functional as possible. And, this is something that is never discussed. And I bet if you were to ask any doctor, they wouldn't even be aware of this information.
So
now, though, one last point, cytomegalovirus has also been, besides breast cancer, been involved with malignant glioma, which is a brain tumor, prostate cancer, skin cancer, colorectal cancer. The most, one of the main routes of transmission of the virus, as you were alluding to earlier, is through breast milk. You know, so that's why the infants, it's passed on from the mother to the infant early in life. And whether it stays inactive or becomes active is really a reflection of that individual's immune system.
That's the critical point here. We can do a great deal to protect ourselves by supporting immune function. It's time for us to take a break here on the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour. I'm Janet Cimarelli. I'm speaking with Dr. Herb Slavin. We're talking about viruses and what you can do to care for yourself. Stay tuned. More to come. Concerned about your health and the health of your family? Tune in every weekday morning to Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour. Hi, I'm Janet Cimarelli, and I'll be available for nutrition counseling sessions at the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center in Margate. The store will be opening in November, and we will keep you updated on construction progress. Located at 3105 State Road 7 in Margate, in the Penn Dutch Center.
Janet Cimarelli wants to keep you posted on an incredible supplement shopping opportunity coming soon to Margate, 3105 State Road 7 in Margate, just south of Sample Road on the west side of State Road 7, or otherwise known as 441. You will find a Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center under construction.
Stop in and say hello. Get the latest news on EDLP and the great things you will soon find at Save-A-Lot Nutrition Centers. Incredible pricing, knowledgeable vitamin specialists, free nutrition counseling, all coming soon.
And welcome back. I'm Janet Cimarelli. I'm speaking this morning with Dr. Herb Slavin. Before we get back to the discussion, a little bit of information about how you can find that Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center. Just 1/2 mile south of Sample Road on the west side of 441, also known as State Road 7, you're going to see the Spirit Halloween store. Right behind the Spirit Halloween store, you're going to see Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center. It's in the PennDOT Shopping Center. So, Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center, you can find it on Google Maps. And the store is not open yet, but the staff is working so hard. What an incredible team with so much experience and so much enthusiasm for the ability to bring to you the information you need to make good decisions about your health and all of the products at fabulous, fabulous, low, low prices. That EDLP, everyday low pricing. So the address of the store, 3105 North State Road 7 in the PennDOT Shopping Center, in the city of Margate. So if you want to see what the progress is, how that progress is going, come on, stop by the store, talk to the staff, see how things are shaping up. It's awesome. Okay, today I'm talking about cytomegalovirus, talking with Dr. Slavin, and, you know, we have this meeting of the minds that, yes, indeed, we may be dealing with multiple different types of subclinical viral and bacterial infections. However, you have the ability to support your immune system with proper nutrition and a variety of different other very reasonable immune system supports. And you also have the negatives that if you're making choices with regard to immune suppressive choices, not getting enough sleep, poor hydration, nutrient deficiencies. So with regard to the cytomegalovirus, 1 in 3 kids is infected by the age of 5. And so what does that translate to? It's interesting because the more serious complications associated with cytomegalovirus can be hearing loss. And that doesn't necessarily appear right away. It's a gradual loss of hearing that can worsen over time. So things like seizure, a predisposition to developing pneumonia, poor liver function, all critically important to be able to point back to the source. As Dr. Slavin was mentioning before the break, it's so critically important for us to understand the causes of these health challenges. By the age of 40, half the adults are infected with cytomegalovirus. That's why it's so important for women to be tested for cytomegalovirus either in the early stages of pregnancy or prior to becoming pregnant. It's interesting. The American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists have removed cytomegalovirus as part of the doctor-patient discussion. So there's no patient instruction from your obstetrician with regard to being tested for cytomegalovirus. And why? Well, the vice president, I believe, of that American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology said, well, there's no vaccine, there's no pharmaceutical, so he said, we're going to focus on issues that we have treatments for. We're not necessarily going to worry our patients unnecessarily if there's nothing we can do about it. Really? in this day and age, the only solution that this vice president of the College of Obstetrics and Gynecology, the only thing that he can think of to solve this issue is a vaccine or a pharmaceutical? Dr. Slavin, what do you have to say to that?
Well, that's part of the problem with mainstream medicine is that you have to use their products because they want a monopoly on making money on the care of patients. In other words, if they can't control it, then they don't even do studies to evaluate something. We've all heard of, over the years, potential cancer cures that were discarded because they actually worked. You know, do we ever hear anybody talk about cancer cures in the context of chemotherapy or radiation? Not really. And the truth is that we're not curing cancer, and the reason is they're not addressing the underlying cause, or at least part of the underlying cause. They never even look to it. Janet, we mentioned earlier about the importance of keeping your immune system as strong as possible. And, you know, a couple of things come to mind that will undermine your immune system. One is the use of statin drugs. Another one is the overuse of antibiotics. Both of those category of medications will undermine your immune system. So just something to think about. The other thing I mentioned earlier, Janet, was the connection between certain viruses and obesity. You know, the adenovirus, to be specific. You know, who's treating obesity by controlling these viruses? I think the answer to that is that's a rhetorical question.
There's a physician who was not tested for cytomegalovirus in the early stages of her pregnancy and gave birth to a baby that was infected with cytomegalovirus, and she's just so incensed about this lack of information being communicated to the pregnant moms. And there is such a dramatic benefit with regard to hygiene. And what's this basic approach to supporting your immune system? Good hygiene. So the statistics having to do with the hygiene is you can reduce the incidence of transmission of cytomegalovirus to under 6% with proper hygiene, just not sharing your food, washing your hands, two very, very simple approaches to minimize transmitting the virus. If there's no information given to the patient with regard to good hygiene, then the transmission number is in the range of 40%. So amazing information with this little change that you can make, washing your hands, being very, very careful when handling food and not sharing food. The New England Journal of Medicine, their article on this, all they had to say was use an antiviral drug. Use an antiviral drug for the mother. We know that this is reasonably safe. They're giving the antiviral drugs to the infants, and they don't necessarily know what the side effects in newborns might be with regard to this antiviral drug. But are they communicating anything about hygiene? No, I don't think so. Are they testing the pregnant moms for vitamin D levels? What's one incredibly important support to your immune system? Your vitamin D status. And that doesn't mean that you should take this bolus of vitamin D, 50,000 IUs once a week. How about every single day, a little bit of vitamin D until you get your vitamin D level right where it should be? And so if you're missing a specific nutrient, I talk about the SpectraCell micronutrient test. You can evaluate your nutrient status across the board, and with that missing nutrient, that may be the very thing that's minimizing how well your immune system is meant to work. How about all of the things that tend to suppress our body temperatures? If your body temperature is under 98 degrees, it's very possible that you don't have the immune system response to overcome the presence of these viruses. Maintaining your body temperature is of great importance. And of course, maintaining your hormone balance. Dr. Slavin was mentioning the connection to breast cancer, prostate cancer, heart, brain cancer, colorectal cancer. We certainly know that if your hormones are out of balance, then there is a connection to how well your immune system is going to work. Statin drugs, they're just proliferating like crazy. So many people, younger and younger people being given statin class drugs. And there's no discussion of, oh, your cholesterol could be high if your thyroid's not functioning. Here, take this drug, and not investigating the thyroid and cholesterol level connection even more. Dr. Slavin, you mentioned earlier the ultraviolet light treatment, UVLRX. We know that that ultraviolet light has the capacity to kill bacteria, viruses, fungus, parasites. How lengthy is that protection? When you have a UVLRX treatment, how long might it protect you from those viruses proliferating?
Jenna, it's going to do a couple of things. One is it's going to diminish the amount of pathogens in your body. If it diminishes them enough for your own immune system to take control again, may be indefinite. One treatment, one or two treatments, and that's all you need. The original reports about the use of ultraviolet blood treatments date back to the 1940s and earlier, where they were treating life-threatening infections in the hospital with this treatment. And they were saving the lives of people that would normally be expected to die from the infection. So we know how effective it can be. And they were saying one or two treatments, and then people got better and went home. Whereas without the treatment, this is before antibiotics, they would have died. Now, how come it's not widely used today? It's because they rather sell antibiotics, and they rather promote vaccines as the approach to treating and preventing illness, instead of, in my opinion, a far more effective and safe approach to the problem.
Dr. Slavin, how long does a UVLRX treatment last? How much time does a patient have to devote to it?
That particular treatment is a one-hour treatment. And what distinguishes it from the prior way of doing it, up until the introduction of, and we'll call it by its generic name, would be intravenous polychromatic light therapy. Before that, we would take the blood out, expose it to the ultraviolet light, and then put it back in the person. With this new approach, the ultraviolet light frequencies are actually put into the vein of the person, so you don't have to take the blood out. Extremely effective approach to treating these problems.
In addition to the ultraviolet light being able to knock off those viruses and bacteria, fungus, and parasites, isn't the UVLRX treatment also a manner in which you can raise your blood oxygen levels?
Well, what it does, and this is, I guess, the advantage of this approach over using the monochromatic light therapy or just using ultraviolet light. With this approach, in addition to ultraviolet light, they're using green light and red light. Red light strengthens the immune cells, and the green light softens the red blood cells so they can deliver oxygen by easily now squeezing themselves through the tiny blood vessels that before they couldn't get into. So now you can deliver oxygen to the tissues. A perfect example of this was a patient we had with intermittent claudication. What that term refers to people who get pain in their calves with just a brief amount of walking. Now, this patient, he could walk for just 3 minutes before he'd have to stop because of the pain due to poor circulation. Immediately after the treatment, he walked on our treadmill for over 14 minutes with no pain. So by softening up the red blood cell, it increases the delivery of oxygen to the tissue. And that was a remarkable improvement.
I love it when my red blood cells can squeeze into those tiny blood vessels. I feel fabulous when that happens. I just want to let our listeners know it's time for a break here on Save a Lot Nutrition Hour. I'm Janet Cimarelli. I'm here with my guest today, Dr. Herb Slavin. We'll be right back.
You can find out more about the Save a Lot Nutrition Centers at this website, sav-a-lotnutritioncenters.com. See progress of the store coming together. Check in for pre-opening specials. Learn about EDLP, the unique saving opportunity of everyday low pricing. Want more information? Send an email to al@savealotnutritioncenters.com.
Mr. Al Foreman and his team are working very hard to stock the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center with the best supplements, the best beauty care, the best organic groceries. But the best of the best is the prices. EDLP, everyday low prices. We invite you to come and see what we're creating for you, the savvy health food shopper. Come see us at the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center, 3105 North State Road 7 in the PennDOT Shopping Center, 1/2 mile south of Sample Road in Margate, 754-307-1655. 754-307-1655. And welcome back to the Save a Lot Nutrition Hour. I just want to let our listeners know that the state of Florida has not initiated cytomegalovirus testing for pregnant women, but in the states of Connecticut and Illinois, they routinely test pregnant women for cytomegalovirus. Utah started testing 2013. Why did they start testing for cytomegalovirus 3 years ago? Well, one of the legislators gave birth to a baby with congenital defects that were attributable to the cytomegalovirus, and with a little bit of investigation determined that, yes, if we had a little bit of prior knowledge of this viral infection, we could have done much more to support both the mother's immune system and minimize the possibility of a birth defect. State of Minnesota is about to initiate cytomegalovirus testing for its pregnant mom. So crucially important to understand the role of antioxidant therapy. You maintain antioxidant status and you minimize the potential for free radical damage to your cells. Free radical damage to your cells minimizes the efficiency of how every system of your body works. Make sure that you're taking your probiotics, because that's a basis for optimized immune function. And as I said, stay away from the things that are going to reduce the efficiency of your immune response. And that would be stay away from sugar, stay away from junk food, use organic foods as much as possible. Make sure you get enough rest. Things like garlic, very supportive of immune function. Onions, that high sulfur content of garlic and onions, of just a very basic support to how your immune system is meant to work. Dr. Slavin, a cytomegalovirus test, do you do that by itself? Do you do it in conjunction with other testing for viruses?
When we do it, we do a panel, like I mentioned earlier, Coxsackie virus, adenovirus, herpes simplex 1 and 2, chlamydia pneumonia, mycoplasma pneumonia, Epstein-Barr virus, people harbor a lot of these, but they keep them under control. But that's why it's so important to keep your immune system strong. Now, several of these viruses that I just mentioned, for example, Coxsackie, herpes virus 1 and 2, cytomegalovirus, chlamydia pneumonia, even H. pylori, they've been associated with coronary heart disease and high blood pressure. But what, do doctors ever take that approach? No, they give you a drug to lower the pressure, but they don't try to first find out could you be harboring these pathogens that might be contributing to your high blood pressure. So they don't. So the whole area that's being under diagnosed, I would say, you know, not being looked at.
So,
because, like you mentioned earlier, Joe, because they don't have a drug for it. If they had a drug for it, yeah, you bet they'd be testing because they'd want to sell the drug.
And so we see that the medical community has a very specific agenda, and it is vaccines and pharmaceuticals. Whereas when you are working with your patients, Dr. Slavin, you bring to them the entire profile of opportunities, options that people have in all manner of approaches to remaining healthy. So the UVLRX, as you mentioned before, the heart rate variability testing, do you see how much stress a person is exposed to and how well equipped their body is to deal with that stress, evaluating the sympathetic, parasympathetic nervous system. No mainstream practitioners are bringing that kind of information to their patients, and no health food stores are bringing to their customers all of the benefits that Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center is bringing to the consumers here in South Florida. Incredible inventory unlike any other place where you may be shopping, and you're going to find those choices that are incredible, as well as the prices that will make your jaw drop. EDLP, everyday low prices. Now, Dr. Slavin, speaking about low prices, can someone just walk into Advanced Medical Testing Centers on Commercial Boulevard in Lauderhill and say, I want to have these viruses, this blood test that will show me how much I'm dealing with viral or bacterial infections, or do they have to have a prescription?
Well, it can go either way. I think they may have trouble having their doctor, you know, order those tests for them. But if they do have it, they can come in, we can draw it, or they can come in on their own, and we can draw it as well.
Okay, so at the Advanced Medical Testing Centers on Commercial Boulevard in Lauderhill, is it possible that there are people there who can give them information on the best ways to go about testing and to make sure that they get the comprehensive type of testing? And if they were to have insurance, would insurance pay for these blood tests?
Yes, yeah. Well, of course, when you have insurance and you need a doctor ordering the tests.
Okay, now that's one of the things that I was saying. Sometimes if the pregnant mom goes to her obstetrician and says, I want to be tested for cytomegalovirus, the obstetrician's reply might be, well, we really don't do that because we are not necessarily equipped to give you something that will help to overcome that virus. Two little bits of information before we run out of time here on the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour. Whole Foods, and people should Google this, bring yourself up to date. Whole Foods is connecting with Monsanto with regard to bringing GMOs into the health food arena, that there is work afoot to have genetically modified organisms in certain vegetables, and if those vegetables are grown in an organic way, to be able to call them organic? I don't think so. The other is, and again, go to the CDC information. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has released documents relating thimerosal to autism, an astonishing turnabout. And I think that that's really important with regard to our discussion this morning. Thimerosal in the vaccines given to newborns, and that newborn may or may not be infected with a variety of the different viruses that we've discussed this morning. And there you have, as Dr. Slavin opened the discussion this morning, there you have the one more thing that the body cannot handle, and consequently, illness is the result. Dr. Slavin, thanks so much for joining me this morning. Very important information to be sharing with our listeners. And I will be back here tomorrow at 10. You've been tuned to the Save a Lot Nutrition Hour. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour with your hosts, Mr. Al Foreman, and licensed nutrition counselor, Janet Cimarelli. Remember to tune in every weekday at 10 a.m. and find out more about EDLP, coming soon to the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center in Margate.
The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.